It's 8:34. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report this morning live with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Big day here in Madison, citywide cleanup. I was third in line and got rid of my stuff, and they're lined up down at the water treatment plant until noon. So get yourself in a vehicle of some sort and take down there, and city helpers will help you out. And then, of course, prom tonight, this afternoon, and this evening. So big day here in Madison, Lacaparra Valley area. Start things off talking boys golf with Barry Besnin, and I think you had a pretty busy week there, Barry.
Yes, we started the week. We were supposed to play in Ortonville on Monday. That was postponed due to concerns about possible weather that day and lightning and that was being forecasted. So they postponed that, so we're going to play that on May 16th. So Tuesday we went over to Raymond and we played two conference meets. Since both McRae and CMCS used the Hawk Creek Golf Course, they each get to host one, so we played them both in one day. So for the first meet, which was the McRae meet, we ended up in second place to Dawson Boyd, and Dawson Boyd shot 160. We shot 165, winning a tiebreaker over CMCS with 165. Community Christian was third with 180, followed by McRae, and then Ortonville in sixth place. Individually for us, Carson Besnin was the medalist, shot a 1-under-35. Then we went to Griffin Kranz, had a great day for his nine, shot 38.
Oh, wow.
Which was his career low until a couple hours later. then we went Caden Stender, 45, Noah Arndt, 47, Aaron Bond, 48, and Gavin Carl, 49 to round out our scoring for that first nine holes. So we turned around. They just kept everyone going. They just kind of continuous. They went onto their app and switched over to a different meet. Gavin Carl had to take off to go run track, so we played with five for the second nine. Fortunately for him, he only had to get to Montevideo, so it was a short trip. But so we played the second nine, the CMCS portion of the event. We won that one with a score of 158, nice score. Anytime you go under 160, you're doing pretty well. CMCS was second at 162. Dawson Boyd was third at 164. Community Christian was fourth at 174. Then McRae and Ortonville to round out the field. This one, Carson Besnin and Griffin Kranz tied for first. They both shot 37. So as I said, Griffin had a career low. As you put the two together, he shot 75 for the day. Carson shot 72, even par. So a nice day for those two. Then we came back. Noah Arndt came back with a 41. Aaron Bond came back nicely with a 43. And then Caden Stender at a 45 to round out our scoring. So it was good to get the win there and get the first place points for that event, for the the second conference event for the day with two left in the regular season, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Our last meet of the week yesterday, we went over to Eagle Creek. We had we call it kind of a pre-section meet. We had a four-team event. From the section, got out there and played 18 holes, nice little competitive round. So it was us and Dawson Boyd and CMCS and Community Christian. And CMCS won the meet with a score of 333. We were second with 334. Dawson Boyd was third with 339. Community Christian was fourth with 347. It was a little cool, a little breezy. It was kind of similar to Thursday's weather. So the wind played a factor, and we didn't have everybody there that we would like to, with other things going on. That's understandable, and that happens. So, individual Carson Besnin was medalist, shot 73. I think he was about five shots clear of second place. I was with you in a double bogey on a hole where he tried to drive a green and hit it in the water. And so he had a double bogey on his card, but still shot one over. Then we went to Griffin Kranz with 83. Noah Arndt shot 87. Gavin Carl shot 91. Aaron Bond shot 96 to round it out. So course played a little different than when we were there a week ago. The greens were a little faster. And like, you know, as the weather's gotten a little better and warmer, they've been mowing the greens down a little more. So it was a little faster, which was good because they resembled a little bit more of a section tournament speed, which was good and what we were hoping to see. So it was a good day for that. And you know, the kids had fun. And, you know, good way to close out the week.
Yeah. Next week.
This coming week, we have three events. First one, Monday, we go to Dawson for their conference meet. So that'll be a 4:30 start for that. Thursday, we go over to Wilmer to CCS for their home conference meet, also at 4:30 out at Valley Golf Course on the east side of Wilmer. So we'll play that to round out our regular season for the conference on Thursday. And then Friday we go down to Tyler. RTR has got a boys and girls invitational. I think I saw on the boys' side there's going to be about 10 teams there, so which will be a good tune-up for us because the conference tournament will be on that course the following week. Mm. So we go Monday, Thursday with conference meets and then the Friday invitational.
Mm, okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Barry.
All right, thank you.
Barry Bessonen on boys golf. We'll get on the phone and be talking girls golf with Kip Stander after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropINS.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
Well, welcome back to the show. Talking with girls golf with the Kip Stender, and you had a busy week, Kip.
Yeah, the girls, we were originally going to have a tournament in Ortonville on Monday, but that got postponed due to the weather. And then Tuesday was the two conference meets in Raymond at the beautiful Hawk Creek Golf Course. The first round was hosted by McCray, and I will go over those results here. Team-wise, Dawson Boyd won it with a 164. Community Christian was second, 191. We finished third with a 196. McCray and Ortonville are incomplete individual-wise on the day. Lindsay Lund was the medalist with a nice 37. Alyssa Swedinski shot a 40, tied with Margot Claussen from Community Christian with a 40, but Alyssa had the tiebreaker. Kate Alstead finished fifth for the Eagles with a 43. Peyton Sachs and Molly Halverson tied for sixth with 46s. Rounding out the Eagles, Macy Zarbuck with a 61, Hannah Oy with a 67, and Haley Nelson an 81. And then the girls just kept playing through, played the next nine, and that was hosted by Community Christian. And let me bring that up here. Girls, there we go. And so the girls, I know that they golfed a little better this second round. We had moved our goal up to shoot a certain score for the team, and they did achieve that on the second round. So Dawson girls won it with a 160. We finished second with a 184. Community Christian was third with a 189. So I think they shaved off those 10-plus strokes from the first nine of the team, so that was really nice. Individual-wise, Lindsay Lund won it with a 37. Molly shot one of her better rounds of the year with a 38. Kate Alstead finished sixth with a 43. Peyton Sachs was eighth with a 45. Hannah Oy with a 74. Macy Zarbuck a 58. And Haley Nelson with a 77. And then we had the JV Junior High was in Ortonville that day. And JV Junior High we hosted in Appleton on Thursday. The last few weeks, we've had a few medalists there, not winning it, but second and third. Hannah Oy and Gertie Sieg have medaled, and America Villa medaled last Thursday in Appleton. So got some future golfers there. So we've met our third goal we've set of the year, so now we've set a fourth goal. The girls are coming along. They're getting better every day. Things are coming together, so we're excited to get into the postseason, which will start, not next week, but the following week, and conference championship on a week from Tuesday. So we got a couple conference meets left next week. Valley Greens on Thursday in Wilmer, and Dawson on Monday. And I don't believe I have anything else right now for varsity. Next week, got a couple JV meets, so it's looking like a good, nice weather-wise week coming up. And the girls have been spending a little more time on their own, doing some things, and it's starting to pay off. They're starting to see the extra hard work that they're doing correlate to their scores and their consistency. And Kate Alstead's really been kind of coming on her own, and so good to see that. Peyton Sachs got some new clubs, so there's some adjustment there that's happening, but that'll come together, and it should put her a little bit farther along than what she was prior to that, and she was doing really well. And Molly's getting down there where she's can be and get that consistency. So hope they all keep working like they are. They're a great group of kids to coach. I have a lot of fun, and we have a lot of laughter, and we work hard. So
that's good.
Looking forward to the rest of the season.
Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on those events next week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right. Thanks, Dick.
It's Skip Stender on Girls Golf. We'll take this break and be talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland after this.
Open house, come and go bridal shower for Lauren Vanderlinde, bride-to-be of Gage Liebel. Will be going on from 10 to noon today at Riverside Town Hall, Highway 212 Dawson. They're registered on the Knot website with Target and Amazon. Everyone's welcome to that shower today in Dawson, 10 to noon. On this Saturday, May 3rd, we say happy birthday to Ryan Olson, Dennis Stoick, Bonnie Moberg in Canby, Kathy Hoffman in Porter, Reese Oxendorf, Linda Bettega and Marietta, Aaron Tasto with a birthday on Saturday, Doris Clays and Dana Weber-Hauk. Happy anniversary on Saturday to Jeff and Linda Fish. On Sunday, happy birthday to my neighbor Paul Lund, Marilyn Kellen, Rodney Jenny, Sherry Lackholt, Brooke Bauman, Aspen Bendel, Megan McFarland, Bruce and Joyce Storley, and celebrating a wedding anniversary on Sunday, as are Dave and Kathy Mork, Jerry and Sandy Borman. Hope you all have a great day and a super weekend.
Monica, Mother's Day is coming up.
It sure is, Paul Ramo, and I am full of bloom at Monica's Apparel and Accessories in Awesome Dawson. I have a lot of color come in, a lot of jackets, sweaters, capris, shoes, sandals. You name it, I've got it. And I have gift certificates available also. So purchase a gift certificate or an item for your mother, and Monica will put in a free necklace set. Shop Monica's in Dawson Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Thanks for shopping small.
Hi, this is Paul from Swendy's Garden Center on Highway 75 in Madison. Just want everybody to know that we're going to be opening on Wednesday, April 30th at 9 a.m. And our hours from then on will be Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 p.m., Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m., and Sunday from 12 noon to 4 p.m. Our specials, we have a lot of buy one, get one free going on our first week. All empty flower pots are buy one, get one free. We have some beautiful outdoor doormats that are buy one, get one free. We also have some bloom watering wands, good for the gardeners to get them plants all watered or buy one, get one free. And all of our outdoor furniture is 10% off this week. So stop on in to Swendy's Garden Center this week and pick up your buy one, get one free. We are located on Highway 75, Madison, Minnesota. Thank you for shopping Swendy's Garden Center.
Back here at the radio station talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland. And a couple of events this past week, Austin.
Yeah, we had a couple. We got a match in on Tuesday, and we had the conference tournament yesterday.
Okay. Let's hear all about it.
Okay. Well, on Tuesday, we took the long journey down to Worthington, a two-hour trip, and it was fun. You know, Worthington, they used to be in our section, and they're very well competitive with a lot of us. You know, it was unfortunate when they redrew the lines like they do every 2 years that their enrollment has increased. So they went up to double A, and so they just kind of, you know, with double A, you get a lot of metro schools, and they kind of just get, you know, pounded. So it was a good matchup for us and them. You know, we go down there every year for that doubles tournament, which is a lot of fun. And, yeah, we were able to go there and play a match, a non-conference section, and up going down to the wire. It's a pretty good matchup, Worthington Trojans there, and ended up winning 4-3.
Okay.
So it started out with, they have 8 courts there, beautiful, beautiful facilities. We had Gunnar Olsen, he played 1 single, he played Quinn Mathis, and he served really well. You know, Gunnar, if you know Gunnar, he was a captain on the football team, a big, strong lineman who can move well, played on the basketball team as well, a really great athlete, great leader. He's been in there for us at 1 singles all the time, and you know, played really well. It was a rare deck because it was sunny and there wasn't any breeze.
Yeah.
So it was nice. We had an opportunity to actually, you know, play in weather like that, and Gunner served really well, and that was a big winning 6-3, 6-2 against the Quinn Mathis, another senior from Worthington. And then our second singles, we had Luke Stock. He's a senior, been a captain on the squad, been playing singles for quite a while. Ended up beating his guy in straight sets, 6-3, 6-1. And then we had, at third singles, we had Brody Boffin playing Bennett Oberle, you know, 2 seniors. And actually, I thought Bennett, before we're going on our way down there, I told, you know, Gunnar Olsen, I said, you're going to probably play Bennett Oberle. And, he must have got beat out in tryouts. I thought he was kind of probably their best player, their most consistent player. So Brody ended up losing to him 6-2 and then 7-6. You know, he came back and forced a tiebreaker for that second set, but couldn't pull it off. I'm going to skip 4 singles for a minute. I'm going to go down to the doubles that section here. We had our number one doubles, Hudson Giese and Brody Nelson. They are a very good one doubles team. They ended up winning straight 6-2, 6-3. Those guys are, you know, Hudson, this is his second or third year out. Brody's been out for quite some time. You know, 7th or 8th grade, but they gel well together. I mean, they cover so much court. I mean, we were playing for fun the other night against Hudson, and you have to really pay attention to where you hit the ball because Hudson, he's short, scrappy, and he can just put any ball away. He covers so much of the net, and Brody with his 6'6 frame or whatever, too, when he's at the net, he can cover so much ground, so they do a really, really good job of covering the court, and there's not a lot of places you can put the ball where they can't get it. So, yeah, they did a good job. They beat Carlos Martinez and Sierra at straight sets at one doubles. At two doubles, it was a really close matchup. We had Tony Reap and Thomas Belton. They've kind of been two doubles for us quite a bit. They lost 6-3, 6-4, and they gave away a lot of opportunities. I mean, they do a great job, but I think that the difference maker in that match was we gave them so many opportunities at the net. And, you know, doubles, you got a guy standing right there, he can just put a shot away. And that's what Worthington did. They did a really good job with that, and they usually are a pretty good doubles team. So yeah, we ended up losing at second doubles, and then at third doubles, we had Aaron Will and Gannon Andrews. They took on a Xander Barber and a Nico Martinez. That Xander Barber kid from Worthington, at third doubles, that's probably, he had probably the best serve you will ever see in a third, you'll see in a third doubles. I mean, he just had a really, you know, powerful first serve. And that was a bit, I mean, we ended up losing, you know, in the first set, 7-6. You know, we were up 5-2, and they got their serves going, they got it going, and we ended up losing that second set 6-1. But, you know, Aaron is an eighth grader. You know, he's a really, really great player. You know, he's probably better at a singles than at doubles, but we have four seniors playing at singles, so we can't really get into that lineup either. So we put him, you know, at doubles with Gannon. Gannon's a very good kid, too. You know, he's a senior, been out since sixth grade, so he really knows what's going on. But, you know, it's hard at third doubles. You know, we have to get that to gel, and, we've had a lot. We have about five or six kids who are at that third doubles, but we haven't been able to find that team to get us very many points. But, yeah, so then it was 3-3. It kind of came down to our fourth singles matchup, which was Mitchell Myers and Tim Dalen. And so Mitchell lost his first set 6-0, got kind of just spanked, you know. And then that second set, he kind of figured it out. You know, he's been out talking to me, you know, figured it out. Ended up winning that second set 6-3. And then he goes into a tiebreaker, or a third set, and that goes to a tiebreak. And that kid, his opponent was cramping up. So it was a 10-minute, I mean, it was, everybody kind of zoomed on this because it was 3-3, and it was getting to be late in the night, and we got a 2-hour drive home. But, yeah, it was a great job. Mitchell pulled out the win for us. I think it was it 8-6 in that tiebreaker for the third set. Wow. So we played the full third set out. So,
okay.
That was, it was a late night to begin with, and then to top it on, it going down to the wire and stuff like that. But it was good for the bad guys to get a win here over Worthington, and we got a lot of court time. So
we
got to
do the next one a little quicker if we can.
Okay, yeah, we had the conference tournament yesterday. That was kind of tough.
Okay,
we got a couple fifth places. Brody Boffin got fifth at third singles. And doubles, we are all of our, you know, our doubles teams got fifth place. Hudson Geezy, Brody Nelson at one. Tom Felton, Tony Reef at two. And Cole Percy and Aiden Menning, they got fifth place as well in third doubles. So, we had a couple tough, it was kind of a tough draw for, you know, one singles. Gunner ended up playing probably the best kid in there, but they seeded it by conference points. And the New London kid, you know, he was probably the best player. Probably the best player in the whole conference. Ended up playing him first round.
Okay.
So that's kind of a tough draw. Luke had a good match too against his first round match. Ended up going to a tie break, ended up losing that. And then, same with Mitchell Myers too. He went to a tie break against that Beastman kid and ended up losing tie break that first round. So, we got some playing in yesterday, and it was cold and windy, and it wasn't really that enjoyable, to be honest with you. How cold and windy it was. Oh well.
Yeah.
That's spring in Minnesota, I guess.
Okay. Quickly, next week.
Monday, Redwood. They're probably the top seed in the section. We play them, and then we go Wilmer on Thursday, and then we go down south to Laverne and Pipestone.
Okay.
To finish out the regular season. So.
All right. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck this up and coming week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Austin.
Right on.
Austin, Ireland on boys tennis. We'll take the break, and we'll come back shortly after 9 o'clock with the rest of the Culture Show.
This is Paul from Schwendy's Garden Center on Highway 75 in Madison. Just want everybody to know that we're going to be opening on Wednesday, April 30th at 9 a.m. And our hours from then on will be Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 p.m., Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m., and Sunday from 12 noon to 4 p.m. Our specials, we have a lot of buy one, get one frees going on our first week. All empty flower pots are buy one, get one free. We have some beautiful outdoor doormats that are buy one, get one. We'll have some bloom watering wands, good for the gardeners to get them plants all watered, or buy one, get one free. And all of our outdoor furniture is 10% off this week. So stop on in to Schwendy's Garden Center this week and pick up your buy one, get one free. We are located on Highway 75, Madison, Minnesota. Thank you for shopping Schwendy's Garden Center.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Well, welcome back to the Coaches Show. Dick Newman along with Paul Ramo at his usual position, and just to remind you every week that we've done three coaches already, starting at 8:30 in the spring with seven sports. It's tough to get it in 55 minutes, so we get a half hour to get some in, and we're going to start the final four starting right now. John Sherb's in the studio talking boys and girls track, so... Busy week for you there, John.
It's busy. We had more junior high meets this week, but we had the one varsity meet on Tuesday, but really it was tough to get anything done on Monday because the weather wasn't the greatest. Wind, when you put a stinking windmill in your backyard, it's not going to be calm out there, so it just blows all the time. It's like when I was in college in Fargo, we'd always, in the morning, God, it was so calm. And until someone stepped on the track, it was like a pressure gauge. It's like, okay, let's go win. So that was kind of our issue, how to get heat relay handoffs, because we made a few changes in some of our relays going to Monty on Tuesday for the varsity. Wanted to kind of move some kids around, give them a chance to maybe challenge them a little bit. So just to remind kids that you got to keep working. Just because you're on a relay team doesn't mean you're staying on a relay team. So you got to kind of keep them hungry a little bit. And I think a couple of kids got their eyes opened up a little bit of understanding that they've got to work a little bit harder and a little more focus. And so hopefully that will give them a little bit of a kick in the rear end there to move on. So weather wasn't too bad on Tuesday over at Monty. Coolish. It wasn't a scorcher, but it was still not bad. Not a lot of wind, little wind out there, but it was still good to see what we had. So, and I'll go through the girls first, and then I'll be able to split since I had results for the boys and girls. So girls, 100-meter dash, Mary Holmgren was our top runner there. She was fifth overall at 14.31. She had a nice, that's probably her best mark of the year and her probably career. She looked very good. We're trying to get her healthy. She's been nicked up a lot this year. So had her, Macy Coyer was eighth overall at 14.51. Sadie Hacker was 11th at 14.67. Maren Woolley was 12th at 14.78. And Clarissa Ramirez was 15th at 15.95. 200-meter, this is one of our tweaks. We tried something new. We took Micaiah Poost, who, she's our 800 gal. She runs a lot. Her forte is not the 8th. It's the quarter, but, she does so much. Can she do 8? She's very, very versatile. And so we figured, let's try her in the 200 just to see what she can do. Looked really, really good. Came out of the blocks. So she finished second overall and had a great time. She ended up taking second at 28.52. So, that's one of our best times of year in the 200, to get under 30 there and look very sharp. Macy Coyer was sixth at 30.35. Maria Thader was ninth at 39.8. Maren Woolley was 13th at 31.52. Celeste Jenkins was 15th at 31.80. Marley Ludvigson was 17th at 31.93. Clarissa Ramirez was 24.33. 400, another twist we did a little different. We took Marin out of the 8 and put her in the quarter just to see what she can do. I figured since Poost is out, we took Makai out, so I thought we'd move Marin up into that quarter to see how she likes that a little bit. Really ran an outstanding race there. Another, again, that's one of our best marks in the open quarter. She ran, looked very sharp, and she won it with a time of 101.41. You know, the big goal is in that quarter is, you know, on a girl's side is can you break that 1 minute? And that's how close you get. So she's not far off. And, you know, she had a girl from Wyoming right outside of her, but she never saw the girl last 200 meters. So she had the lead pretty soundly all the way through. So, you know, maybe, you know, you could tweak her a little bit and put her in an open quarter and you get some competition. Where can she run? So it went really well. Taylor Wood, we got her back into more of a fuller rotation. And she was fourth overall at 106.07. Julissa Ramos was fifth at 107.16. Another good race for her to get her in that quarter, too. She'd been running some other ones. We're just trying to get her into multiple events. Talia Hersham was sixth at 107.65. And then Marley Ludvigsen was ninth at 111.48. 800-meter run. We moved Chloe, too. We moved Chloe down. Like I said, we moved a lot of the kids around. Chloe ended up going into the eighth. We took her out of the mile, too, and just let her run some relays and see how that goes. She won the open eight with 236.71. That's a season best for her. I don't know where it's on PR mode, but that's really, really close to her personal best, so that's a really good time for her. Then Harper Reynolds had a really nice run there. She ended up finishing fourth at 251.24. You know, we got to get her under that 250, and she's not that far off, so that's good for her. Like I said, we didn't have anybody in the mile and 2 mile, So we kind of left that open. We just didn't really want to worry about that. We're just trying to get kids moved. 100-meter hurdles, Alexis Olson was fifth, 18.78. Ella Stock was sixth at 20.62. 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was fourth at 57.22. Becca Torgerson was sixth at 58.40. Ella Stock was eighth at 104.24. 4x1 relay, finished third. A time of 101.74. And that was Sadie Hacker, Celeste Jenkins, Maren Woley, and Marley Ludvigsen. Again, we got caught flat-footed on a couple of handoffs, and that's just mental little issue there. I think also not getting any reps in when you go from Friday to Saturday, Sunday, and nothing on Monday. When you're inexperienced like we are, it does show. And that's, again, you need reps, and that's what we didn't get a lot in that. But, again, they still ran hard, and they still, you know, still completed the stick. The stick still moved. It's just we had some times where we just weren't clean as we should be. 4x2, that was another twist we changed a little bit. We changed the order on a couple, and then also we put Poost in there, Makai, just to see where she can do. Girls ran really well. That is our fat. That's our first time breaking two flat in that. We went 159.28. Sadie Rosendahl to Julissa Ramos, Celeste Jenkins, and Makai Poost. Handoffs were, if two of the handoffs were not as pretty as they should have been, but they weren't bad. It just, if they could have been a little cleaner. We were just basically less than a second out of first. I think that would have got us, made Makai have a chance to maybe come up on that girl. But still, good to see them mix and match it in there. 4x4, they won it with a time of 425.26. That was Bringlegi, Sadie Rosendahl, Taylor Wood, and Makai Poost. And where am I slipping here now? Okay, in the field events, what we went there in. I forgot the 4x8. The 4x8 broke their season best. They went 10:58.17. That was Chloe Glegi to bring. Well, actually, it was Brenda Chloe, and I told the kids, I said, it'd be a Kodak moment. It's always neat when you can have a sister handing off to a sister in a relay. And so that was kind of, they both rolled their eyes at me, thought I was full of baloney, but I thought it was kind of neat to see that. And so those two handed off to each other, and then Talia Hersham, and then Taylor Wood was at, like I said, they won with 10:58.17. Maria Thader is just jumping very, very well. She, again, had some great attempts, cleared 5 foot to win it, had great attempts at that 5 foot two. So I think, I'm not 100% for sure, I think state standard's 5'2", so she's right there. So hopefully that can give her a chance to be in that. Sadie Rosendahl had some really good attempts also. She finished second at 4'8". Mary Holmgren was sixth at 4'4". Harper was our first time competing in the pole vault. Didn't clear opening height, but we got her up and down the runway, and I explained a couple things she needs to work on a little bit. And so I think, you know, another chance to do that. I think that just she's got to get some live action in there and practice. I know practice went very well for her yesterday, so hopefully that'll carry over here to the next week. We can get her over the opening height and then see what happens there. long jump. Marie Thayer also won the long jump, 14 feet 5 and a quarter inches. And then Ella Stock was 11th at 11 feet 1 inch. And Annika Lalem was 12th at 11 foot and a half inch. Then in the triple, Alexis Olsen won the triple. That's probably, I would say, that's her first time ever winning a varsity event. And so you really got to enjoy seeing a kid do that. I know she was very, very tickled with her eyes. We're just gleaming to have that. And that's something special when you can do that. 30 feet, 8.5 inches. And then Annika Lalem was 9th at 26 feet, 1.5 inches. Shot put, Shayla Meyer was 3rd overall, 26 feet, 11.5 inches. Isabel Long Henry was 4th at 26, 9.5 inches. Casey Tweet was 8th at 22 feet, 11 inches. And Alexis Alonzo was 10th at 21 feet, 2 inches. Girls disc, Shayla Meyer was 11th at 61 feet, 3 inches. Casey Tweet was 12th at 60 feet even. And Isabel Long Henry was 13th at 59 feet 2 inches. And Alexis Alonzo was 14th at 57 and 6 inches. Scoring wise, teaming up, Monty won it with 206. We were second at 154. Again, Monty's got so many more kids to select from. And we're just, you know, again, we're pushing a lot of kids around. And but I liked the way the kids competed. I thought we really did some good job and things, you know. Yeah, team scoring is nice, but again, we're still trying to develop these kids and move them and finding a spot. So, you know, again, so second out of five teams, very pleased with that. And you know, again, it was a good process for the kids. The boys, we jumped into the boys there. You know, again, we made some changes there a little bit too. Not a lot of changes because we haven't got a couple of kids back from being nicked up a little bit. So we're trying to get that back in the fold there. So, but still, you like the way these kids are competing. And you know, some events we aren't as strong as we are. But again, I like the way the kids are working. And that's all you can ask. And that they aren't questioning anything. They're busting their butt trying to do what they can, and they're young. We're throwing a lot of young kids in spots. And, again, I keep talking about being young. We're young in a lot of spots, and that's what you look at. Griffin Kuchemeister was our top runner in the 100-meter dash. He was at 13.03. Scott Asfeld was 14th at 13.15. I think that's probably Scott's one of his best races of the season for him, too, and probably even his personal best. Josh Weber was 16th at 13.31. Carson Greppi was 20th at 13.60. And Adrian Specht was 23rd at 13.70. 200-meter dash, David Torgerson was 11th at 26 seconds, .73. Adrian Specht was 16th at 27.48. Scott Asfeld was 17th at 27.58. And Josh Weber was 19th at 27.74. And Griffin Kuchemeister was 20th at 27.89. 400-meter dash, again, Tanner Callis continue to understand it a little bit better and works off it. And so it's good to see Tanner keep growing as it is. Got a really, really nice race with a Monty kid. Just didn't quite have enough to hold on to it. But he got second at 56.06. Then Caden Brent, a young eighth grader, we brought him around because we haven't been able to get him much jumping in with them. They were supposed to jump on Monday, but their meet was postponed. And I know he was going to have a conflict for Friday. And Kester hasn't, you know, Kester and Albers have not had a chance to look at him. So I wanted to get the jump coaches to look at him a little bit more. So we got him in there. He actually ran the quarter. He finished third overall as a young eighth grader, 57.27. I mean, when you can break 60 seconds as an eighth grader, that's pretty impressive. So hopefully we can build him up there. But he gave us really a nice leg in there. Very impressed with that. Then Jake Johnson was 11th at 106.47. And Peter Hale was 13th at 112.26. 800-meter run, Gavin Carl is really, again, he's been running with a lot more, you know, speed and everything else and been able to move him. He was second overall in the 8th at 209.49. Tayden Clark is third at 217.71. Matthew Bothan was 228.10. And then Cade Solom was 9th at 233.28. And we scratched everybody out of the mile in two, just again like we did boys and girls, just because we wanted to move and have them a little workout in there. 110 hurdles, Riley Borman was fourth overall, 20.08. 300-meter hurdles, we put Mason Bothan in there, and he's never run the hurdles before. He's probably done probably two or three practices, even doing with any hurdles, all pretty green in there, but he went really well. He was third overall. A lot of leg speed in there. You know, we'll work on the form and the arms. I was giving him a hard time. He looked like the condor trying to go over the one hurdle. He got the arms wide enough, looked like he was going to take off. But he's got so much speed in between and very, very athletic. But, again, that's a really good time to finish third with 47.91. Riley Borman was fifth at 50.26. 4x1, they finished third overall, 49.90. That was David Torgerson, Riley Borman, Noah Meyer, and then Carson Greppi. The 200, 4x200, we were second overall. We're running very well in that. We just got to get one more leg in there to clean up a little bit better. But, again, it's the finishing through, but finished second, 138.91. That's near our season best in there. That was Dave Torgerson, Mason Bothan, Beckett Anderson, and Tayden Clark. 4x4. Basically, we threw the 4x4 together just to kind of wanted to get some more conditioning out of the kids. We didn't. Tayden Clark was a little sore, so we held. He got the last leg. I know a couple people ask, was he sandbagging or what? I was just like, no, he's got some tight leg hamstrings. So he said, we're just going to loosen it up and just have him run the quarters to loosen up with nothing adrenaline there. So, but they still finished second overall, 355.16. That was Gavin Carl, Beckett Anderson, Tayden Clark, and Tanner Callis. 4x8, we got our 4x8 crew. We got another 4x8 team to run to see how that went there. They were second overall at 941.40. That was Tanner Callis, Gavin Carl, Cade Solom, and then Matthew Bothan was in there. High jump, Mason Bothan was fourth overall in the high jump, 5'4". Beckett Anderson was ninth at 5'. Boys pole vault, Dave Torgerson cleared 8 foot there. He was third overall, and Tayden Clark was fifth and cleared 7 foot in the pole vault. So, again, those guys are learning as they go. You know, it's too bad both of them are seniors, but they're still competing now, and we got a lot of bunch of young ones that really want to do it, so that's what's good there. Brayson Boyko on the long jump, 19 feet 6 inches. Griffin Kukemeister was 11th at 14 feet 8 and a half inches. Adrian Specht was 13th at 14 feet. Asphalt was 14th at 13 feet 8 and a half inch. Triple jump, Brayson won a triple jump of 40 feet 4 inches. Beckett Anderson had a really, really nice jump in there, 35 feet 9, and he's been nicked up a little back and soreness. You know, he's only in ninth grade, too. We're trying to bring him in. He's getting used in a lot of events, and we just got to watch him so we don't wear him down. But, you know, to have that for finish second, a very, very good mark for him. Griffin Kukemeister finished 6th, 31 feet 4 inches. Jake Johnson was 7th at 30 feet 11 and a half inches. Josh Weber was 8th at 30 feet 5 and 3/4 inches. And all those four boys I just mentioned are all ninth graders. So if they get a little more strength and get stronger, they're going to be pretty good once they get to be a junior, senior year. It's just that growing process. Shot put, Noah Meyer was 10th, 35 feet 4 and a quarter inches. Garson Greppi was 11th at 35 feet 4 inches on that. Then in, let's see where I got here. My pages slipped here. And in the discus, Carson was 12th in the discus at 91 feet there. And then also, Lowry was sick. That's why I was trying to, God, I missed one. And so, you know, we just don't have the depth that we've gotten there on that. Like Monty, again, Monty won it with 243. We were second at 126, Morris at 115, you know, West Central 68, and then YME at 64.5. So I thought the kids, you know, were growing, were understanding it. We've got to go to that next level, and I think some of them are just waiting to break out of the box to go there. It's just, again, they've got to believe in themselves as they go and get some nicer weather. I mean, that's, you know, if you get a little bit some warmer weather, it would help a little bit too. But again, you know, I don't know, like a sound like a farmer. It's always never wet. It's too dry. It's too wet. You'd never be happy with it. So, but again, it just, you go on, but you still don't look for excuses. You just look to try to improve.
Okay. Next week, John.
Next week, we race on Monday, which I'm not a big fan on Monday meets because with, you know, prom tonight, you know, it's just kids' legs. Their legs are going to be mush by the time they get to Monday. They won't get any sleep at all. So it's going to be one of those deals. But that's the only one we got for the race for the whole kids. So that's the varsity won on Monday. Then we basically go 10 days out until the conference meets. Oh, wow. So good and bad. I think that'll be good because I think, you know, we should race, but we also can get some workouts in. And like any kids are nicked up, at least we should get them back healthy, and we should be full strength for the conference meet in that 10 days. And then I know the junior high Camden conference meet is on Thursday too. So okay. Junior high kids have been doing very well. We've got some young, talented kids, especially on the girls' side. We've got some very young, talented seventh graders that are coming up there that are hopefully going to give us some taste. So, but short week.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck in Monday and then for the junior high. And we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, John.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on boys and girls track. And after the break, we'll be talking softball with Scott Swatsky.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's the 64th annual Hanley Falls Fire Department Smelt Fry. Saturday, May 3rd at the Fire Hall, they'll be serving from 3 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd. Proceeds go towards the Hanley Falls Firemen's Relief Association. That's Hanley Falls Fire Department Smelt Fry. They're also serving pollock. Saturday, May 3rd, 3 to 9. See you there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, back here talking softball. Let's hear about your four games there, Scott.
Yeah, it was a big week for us, Paul. Yeah. Or, Dick, we headed to TMB excuse me, for the first game on Tuesday, and TMB has, you know, I didn't really know what they had. They lost their pitcher from last year who open and rolled to RTR, so I wasn't really sure what was going on there, but they've been beating some teams and playing some pretty good ball by the articles that I've been reading and things like that. So we went down and really did some good things. Offensively, just exploded and end up winning that game 18-6.
Wow.
yeah, the girls are, I mean, they're just swinging it from the top of the lineup to the bottom. It's fun. So we scored right off the bat in the first inning to take a 2-0 lead, and then just had a an explosion in the third inning for 10 runs. So we had a very comfortable lead there. Scored two more in the fourth, one more in the sixth, and three more in the seventh. And the only hiccup that we had was in the fifth inning. And we were kind of looking to get out of this game hopefully earlier, but we had a hiccup in the sixth inning or the fifth inning where we had some errors and things snowballed, and we ended up giving up six runs in that inning. And so had a good talk about that, and these girls are competitors, and they know what they've got to clean up. So, but long story short, we ended up walking away from a long drive to TMB with an 18-6 victory. We had eight hits on the day. Jalen Lee was 1-for-5, scoring two runs, two RBIs. Kendall Shelstead was 1-for-5, scoring one run with two RBIs. Brandy Meyer was 0-for-0, but had scored four runs, had three walks, and one RBI. Kayla Jan was 1-for-2, scoring two runs with one RBI. Callie Kahn was 2-for-5, scoring once with four RBIs. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-3, scoring once with two RBIs. Val Piotr was 0-for-2, scoring twice with two RBIs. And Raya Borsted was 1-for-4.
scoring twice with one RBI, and Aiden Bond was 1-for-3, scoring three times with three RBIs. So just a lot of action for every single team. Maya Swatsky threw five innings and was going strong. Had seven strikeouts, one walk. Things were rolling, and all of a sudden something in her forearm was hurting, so we had to pull her out. Val Piatr came in to close the door. Val finished out for the game, giving up zero runs with one strikeout and no walks, and so we got the victory there. So that was a pretty big deal for us to head on into Thursday's doubleheader with Dawson Boyd. And so on Thursday we hosted Dawson Boyd for a doubleheader, and again the offensive onslaught kind of continued. We started off scoring one in the first, four in the second, six in the fourth, and two in the fifth, and ended up with a 13-1 victory. We had 16 hits on the day. We did have three errors, so we're trying to clean that stuff up a little bit. But offensively, Jalen Lee was 0-for-2, scoring a run with a walk. Kendall Shelstead was 3-for-4, scoring three runs with three RBIs. Brandy Meyer was 2-for-3, scoring a run with one RBI. And Brandy had a great defensive day, made some really nice plays in the field. Carson Wittenable was 1-for-1 with scoring a run. Kayla Jan was 1-for-3. Zoe Doctor was 2-for-3, scoring two runs with two RBIs. Maddie Geiser was 1-for-1 with two RBIs. Val Piatr was 2-for-3 with one run and one RBI. Raya Borstead was 2-for-4, scoring once with two RBIs. And Eva Traeger was 2-for-2, scoring twice, totaling 16 hits on the day. So that was a pretty impressive feat. We have Val Piatr through for us, and we went into this game with kind of a game plan, because Friday was a big game against Wyoming. We felt from looking at scores that maybe we should be able to get these two against Dawson, and so we wanted to throw Val. With Maya being injured and not being able to throw this week, we really wanted to save on Val's arm. So the plan was, we're just going to throw as few innings as possible, and we have a great third pitcher in Greta Fernholz, who's been pitching on JV and having a heck of a year, and honestly she'd be a starting pitcher on many conference teams. So we wanted to get her first exposure to the circle, and that happened. So Val threw the first three innings, had two strikeouts and no walks, and we had a nice little cushion there, and we're like, here we go, Greta, it's your time, girl. And Greta, you know, she's just got this smiley competitive face, so she got out there, and she, you know, a lot of times you have some jitters, especially when you're in the circle and knowing that every pitch is literally in your hands. So, but she threw two solid innings for us, giving up one hit, one run, one earned run, but had two strikeouts and no walks. And so I was very proud of her. We're working on a changeup with her, and she Johnny Garibay, the JV coach, had said, yeah, she doesn't really like to throw it in the JV game. And I'm like, well, she's going to throw it in the varsity game. So we did, and honestly, it's looking great. I'm really proud of where she's at with that, and she's ready to help us out in any way we need her. So
good.
So we end up winning that game 13-1 in five innings, and then we moved on to the second game, and again, kind of had an offensive onslaught again. We didn't score in the first, but we scored seven in the second, six in the third, and four in the fourth, for a 17-2 victory. Batting for that game, Jalen Lee was 1-for-2, scoring a run with one RBI. Maddie Geiser was 1-for-1, scoring a run with one RBI. Maddie's an eighth grader she just got a sweet swing. She hit just a laser at the shortstop, and I'm not kidding you, Dick. I thought it was going to take her glove off. It was just peppered. Let's see here. Kayla Jan was 3-for-4. She had a really big game. 3-for-4, scored three runs, had seven RBIs. Callie Kahn was 2 for 2, scoring a run with one RBI. Zoe Doctor was 1 for 2, scoring a run. And Raya Borsted was 1 for 1, scoring 3 runs with one RBI. So just a big, we had 9 hits in that game, no errors. That's what I really like to see. So defensively, we were getting things done there. So walked away with a doubleheader. Our pitchers for that game, Val Piatta, again, was only, she only threw 3 innings, which was great. Gave up 1 run, not earned. Had 3 strikeouts and no walks. Greta was able to come back in, throw an inning for us as well. Gave up 2 runs, 2 of them were earned, had 2 strikeouts and 1 walk. But I thought, you know, did a nice job. And our goal was really accomplished on this game, because going into Friday against YME, where we knew we thought we'd have a tough game, we really wanted Val to be as healthy as possible. So last night we get into Friday's game. We're facing a team with, we know that they have a pretty good pitcher. We started off the game. First inning, there was no score. Second inning, YME scored a run, so we're down 1-0. Third inning, no scoring. The fourth inning, YME scores again, so we're down 2-0. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. I did think that our hitters were going to get on things. Sometimes it just takes a time or so through the order to time things up. And also sometimes hits are contagious. So in the bottom of the fourth, we started getting some action, getting some girls on base, and really, really small-balled the Yellow Medicine team to death. Once we got them on, we did some bunting, just put them in pressure situations, put pressure on their defense, and they weren't necessarily sure what to do with some of our situations. I told our girls before the game, I'm so impressed with how they've grown in this small ball game, just knowing what to do situationally on the bases, being aggressive, but more importantly, our hitters are laying down really nice bunts. And so we end up scoring 7 runs in that inning, which was a big deal, because I was thinking this could be a dogfight down to the end. Go out in the fifth inning, and, you know, Dick, in baseball, softball, when you have an inning like that, it's crucial to get out defensively that next inning and shut the door and make sure that there's no action happening. And Val did that. She along with the defense, got us out of the top of the fifth. They didn't score any runs. So now YME is thinking, Jiminy Crickets, we're down 7-2. And we come up to bat and we do the exact same thing all over again. Get some girls on, play a little small ball, got the top of our order up. Bases are loaded. The score is 9-2, and Kayla Chan, the softball must be looking like a watermelon to her right now, because she is driving it all over the park. And she hits a bases-clearing triple to end the game in 5 innings, 12-2. And that was a pretty big statement win for our girls. We know that we can hit with anybody. We can play with anybody. We just thought that this would be a tough game, and I think it would be if we played them again, but getting out of there in 5 innings on the 10-run rule was what I would call a statement win for us right there. So we had 9 hits. Val pitched. She only gave up 2 hits. So I thought she did an outstanding job once again. She had 1 strikeout and 3 walks. And of the 2 runs that they scored, only 1 of them was earned. As far as our hitters for the day, Jalen Lee was 1 for 4, scoring twice with 1 RBI. Kendall Shellstead was 1 for 2, scoring twice with 2 RBIs. Brandy Meyer was 1 for 4 with an RBI. Kayla Jan was 2 for 3, scoring once with 3 RBIs on that game-ending walk-off triple, if you will. Callie Kahn was 1 for 2, scoring once. Zoe Doctor was 1 for 3, scoring twice with 1 RBI. Val Piatta was 1 for 2, scoring twice. Raya Borsted was 1 for 3, scoring once with 2 RBIs. And Aiden Bond did a nice job behind the plate for us. She scored once and had an RBI. So just a big team win for us, and now it's rest up. Like Sherb said, it's go to prom. Have some fun. I told them to rub a little egg so they could, not forget about that they like to play in the dirt, too, so as they're all fancified today.
Right. Your JV so, yeah, on the week?
Yeah, we had a nice week. C-Squad had their only game was on Friday, and they won in a dogfight 10-9 against KMS, so that was really fun, a good experience for them. And then JV had a couple victories. Tuesday at TMB, they won 19-4. And Friday against YME, they won 18-3. Okay. And I'll be honest, our JV, they're exciting. And frankly, they would probably be starting on, many of them would be starting on a lot of the varsity teams that we play. So there's some really exciting up-and-comers coming through the program as well.
Good, good. Okay, next week.
Oh, boy. Next week we have a doubleheader against KMS on Tuesday, and then we go to Lakeview on Thursday for a single game, and then we have the Wabasso tournament on Saturday, which will be it's an opportunity for us to see some teams from the south. I don't have the brackets in front of me, but I know we play Redwood Falls first, I think at 10:30, and then possibly, depending on how that goes, some of the other teams down there that we're interested in seeing. MCC, I believe, is down there again. Edgerton Southwest Christian is down there. And Wabasso, of course. And so there's some solid teams from the south that we'd really like to lock horns with and whatnot. So right. It should be a busy week and yeah. A lot of games and a lot of good competitive games.
Well, that's good. And Paul will get a hold of you on Friday to talk about the games prior to or an early part of the week. So
yep, that sounds great.
We can't do that Saturday, but we'll have to hear about it in 2 weeks. So
yep, that sounds good. Sounds good.
Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on the week, including next Saturday, and we'll hear all about it next week and the week after. And Paul will play the softball promotion here after we hang up. So.
Sounds good. Thanks. I appreciate you guys.
We'll take this break, and when we come back, we'll be talking baseball.
I'm senior outfielder Zoe Doctor, and the Lacaparral softball team thanks the Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support for our program. I would like to thank Cargill, Clean Sight, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, and Bellingham Legion Post 441.
I'm senior second baseman Kayla Jan, and I would like to thank Lovickson Tiling, Starbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Dominic Fernals, Fernals Concrete, Appleton VFW Post 4955, and Blake and Ramona Dineen.
I'm senior first baseman and outfielder Jalen Lee, and I would like to thank Clement Electric, Prairie Sun Bank, the Dreyer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, and Q92 FM Radio.
I'm senior shortstop Brandy Meyer, and I would like to thank Ag Country, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer Farms, Home to Home, Appleton Dental Care, and the Appleton Sportsman's Club.
I'm senior pitcher and outfielder Val Piotr. I'd like to thank Piotr Construction, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Kibble Equipment, and Appleton Veterinary Clinic.
I'm senior third baseman Kendall Shelstead, and I would like to thank Triggested Pioneer Seeds, Madison Chiropractic Center, Traeger Seeds, Joe and Deb Schreier. We thank the Home Run Club sponsors and all donors for supporting our Lacaparral softball team.
Monica, Mother's Day is coming up.
It sure is, Paul Ramo, and I am full of blue at Monica's Apparel and Accessories in Awesome Dawson. I have a lot of color come in, a lot of jackets, sweaters, capris, shoes, sandals. You name it, I've got it. And I have gift certificates available also. So purchase a gift certificate or an item for your mother, and Monica will put in a free necklace set. Shop Monica's in Dawson Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Thanks for shopping small.
Open house, come and go bridal shower for Lauren Vanderlinde, bride-to-be of Gage Liebel, will be going on from 10 to noon today at Riverside Town Hall, Highway 212 Dawson. They're registered on the Knot website with Target and Amazon. Everyone's welcome to that shower, Dawson, 10 to noon. On this Saturday, May 3rd, we say happy birthday to Ryan Olson, Dennis Stoick, Bonnie Moberg in Canby, Kathy Hoffman in Porter, Reese Oxendorf, Linda Bettiga in Marietta, Aaron Tasto with a birthday on Saturday, Doris Clays and Dana Weber-Hauk. Happy anniversary on Saturday to Jeff and Linda Fish. On Sunday, happy birthday to my neighbor, Paul Lund, Marilyn Kellen, Rodney Jenny, Sherry Lackholt, Brooke Bauman, Aspen Bendel, Megan McFarland, Bruce and Joyce Storley, and celebrating a wedding anniversary on Sunday, as are Dave and Kathy Mork, Jerry and Sandy Borman. Hope you all have a great day and a super weekend.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk baseball, Lacaparral Valley Baseball, with head coach Darby Biergott. Morning, Darby.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, I understand you're, what, in Marshall watching your boy play ball?
Or yeah, it's my first chance. My son's a seventh grader this year, so it'll be my first chance this year to be able to watch him play some ball. They have a weekend tournament down in Marshall, so they got a 9 o'clock start, and it was early morning for them, so hopefully they got some sleep last night and they're ready to go.
All right. All right. Well, we got some games to talk about. How'd you do this week?
Yeah, we had two games this week. Actually, we have third, but you're going to report on that one since we're doing this on the phone. We played Dawson on Tuesday, and we played Lakeview on Thursday. So Dawson was a rematch of the section championship from the year before, and it turned out to be a pretty good game. We ended up on the wrong side of things, though. Ended up losing 2-0. Dawson scored one in the top of the first after a triple by their leadoff hitter, and we held them scoreless until the sixth when they scored one more, and that was kind of the end of the game. Their pitchers kept us off balance, and we weren't able to move around the bases very well, so we ended up losing that game 2-0. Brock Biernild on the day hitting was 2-for-2 with a double. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-3, and Brant Schomer was 2-for-3 with a triple. Pitching, Brock started for us on the mound. He ended up getting the loss, the hard luck loss. He went 4 1/3, giving up 3 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 3 walks. He struck out 8. And Matt Arndt came in and threw the final 2 2/3, where he gave up 1 hit, 1 run, no earned, 2 walks, and he struck out 3. So we looked at it, Brock. We had to pull him a little bit earlier. He was than we wanted. He was rolling. It just some fielding errors and stuff just made him throw some more pitches than we had to in the pitch count. We made him take him out early, but Matt did a very nice job coming in and closing out with the innings that he gave us. And so that was 2-0 on Tuesday. It was a section game and a conference game, but it was a good battle between two decent teams that I hope we'll face off in the section later on in the year. And then on Thursday, we had Lakeview that came to town and started out kind of our Achilles heel all year. Is we gave up one big inning in the second. They ended up scoring 6 runs on us, but didn't score after that. And there was a little bit of a rain delay, but we were able to come back and put 2 up in the second, and another 2 up, put up 8-4 in the fourth and the fifth inning, and ended up with the 10-run rule after 5, beating them 16-6. We would have liked to, you know, seeing that 6 number we gave up in the second not escalate so high so quick, but I was proud of the boys for coming back and keep battling and chipping away, and once we saw that momentum or felt that momentum switch, I felt like they were ready to roll. So big day at a plate, big day on the bases for a lot of guys. Davis Patzer was 1-for-2 with 3 runs, a stolen base, and an RBI. Dylan Kimig scored twice with a stolen base. Brock Biernild was 1-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 stolen bases, and 2 RBIs. Lennon Weber was 1-for-2 with a run, a double, a stolen base, and one RBI. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-3 with a run, and he had a home run and 4 RBI, so Gavin got a hold of a ball there that was out, I think, in any park. Brant Schomer was 0-for-2, but he scored 2 runs and had 3 stolen bases. Tyler Earp was 4-for-4 coming back from an injury, so it was good to get Tyler back in the lineup. He wasn't able to play Tuesday. Well, he was able to play Tuesday, but we were still limiting his action because of his hamstring that he had an issue with. He was 4-for-4 with 2 runs, a double, a stolen base, and 2 RBIs. And Grant Bierke was 1-for-2 with 3 runs and 3 stolen bases. Starting on the mound for us was Nolan Smith. He went 1 2/3, gave up 3 hits, 6 runs, 3 earned, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Nolan's really came in a relief effort. This is his first time on the mound starting, and the weather may have played with it. It just wasn't the normal outing we saw in Nolan, so we know he's going to be mentally tough and be able to come back and put up good numbers next time he comes back. Gavin Meyer then came in and threw the final 3 1/3. He gave up 2 hits, no runs, no earned, no walks, and 2 strikeouts, and he hit one guy. So Gavin came in, kind of did it on the mound and at the plate, too. So a good day for Gavin Meyer on the mound and at the plate.
Okay. Was that Nolan's first varsity start?
It was Nolan's first varsity start, yes. He's came in relief for us in other games, but that was his first start.
Yeah,
so, you know, there's a lot of nerves going on there that we don't think about sometimes as adults, so.
The games I've done, usually Nolan's come in relief with the bases loaded. So,
yeah, he's done a nice job in relief, and I've asked him. I said, "How do you feel about a start?" He goes, "Good." I said, "What do you like better?" He goes, "You know, I'm starting to really like relief better." So, well, we wanted to give him a start and see how he did at starting, and I know he'll get a chance again, and he'll come back real strong.
Okay, boy, it sounds like the bats are pretty strong Thursday.
You know, other than the Dawson game where we were a little off balance, we've been hitting the ball pretty well, and the boys are putting in play, and that's what we want. want them to do, and any time we can limit our strikeouts and put pressure on the defense is always going to be a better situation for us.
Anything else?
Yeah, so while we with those two games, we went 1-1 so far. We play Morris. I know we're doing this on tape recorder, but we got Morris, which is a really good team, coming here Friday night. So we'll see what we can throw at them. And I guess the only thing would be a personal thank you for my part is my wife was gone all week down in San Antonio. So I just got to thank my neighbors that helped get the kids to school, the Ludvigsons, my family that's taking care of my kids when I'm not around. I don't know if I saw my kids this week, to be honest. I'm not sure if they ate. So, and then also a real special thank you to my parents helping out with the kids, but they also mowed the field Thursday before our game, so
wow.
It was nice of my parents to come in and lend some time and help us out there too. So
That's pretty cool.
Remember, we got a lot going on when we're doing, you know, we're working and we're raising a family, and it's just nice to have that extra help from those that are willing to put that help out there.
So your mom and dad groomed the field the other
day,
huh?
Yeah, you know, they're used to that. If you've ever been out to their farm, it's many times they get complimented that it looks like a golf course. So I think they were okay doing it, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
How did JV do this week?
JV, they ended up beating Dawson and beating Lakeview. So they got two wins on the week. And on Friday, they're heading up to Morris, a little bit changing the schedule. So it's only going to be varsity at home against Morris, and then they're going to head up to Morris and play as many innings as they can. So they got, you know, we've talked about several times, they've got a lot of guys on the team, so that's a great opportunity to get more innings. And so we were really happy as Morris was able to host them.
Okay, what's coming up this coming week then?
Yeah, so we got coming up after this, of course, we got prom, so we hope the boys are rested up after everything. We got Canby at Canby on Tuesday, then we welcome CMCS at home on Thursday, and then we've got our weekend tournament on Saturday, so come on down for three games of baseball starting at 11 May 10th. We play Adrian to start, and then it'll be Adrian versus Border West, and then it'll be Lacaparle versus Border West to finish the day. That's May 10th. So hopefully a nice day of ball, and hopefully we can get a lot of people down there to watch, you know, and have a good time.
That's right. Mother's Day weekend then.
Is that? Thanks for reminding me, Paul. That's probably something I should mark down and remember.
Okay. All right. Real good, Darby.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Thanks for the report.
Yep. Got it.
Talk to you next Saturday. That's
head coach. Sounds good.
Yep. Head coach Darby Biragon of the Eagles. Take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Actually, we'll just give an update on that ball game last night at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Not a good outing for the Eagles. Sorry. They lost to Morris, state-ranked Morris. I believe they're ranked number one in AA. They lost 22-3 in hits and three errors. The Eagles had three runs on five hits and four errors. Dylan Keimig hit a solo home run for the Eagles last night. Brant Schomer had an RBI. But Morris's Riley Asmus, listen to this, 5-for-5. He had three home runs, including a grand slam and 10 RBIs for Asmus on the night. And he's also the winning pitcher. That's a full day of baseball there for Riley Asmus. 22-3 win over Lacaparle Valley. Take a break and wrap up the Coach's Show with Dick Newman right after this.
The Dawson Boyd Arts Association presents Fruit Flies Like a Banana, a family-friendly variety show at Memorial Auditorium in Dawson, Sunday, May 4th at 7 p.m. It features The Fourth Wall, a trio of musicians who are dancers and actors blending music, theater, and acrobatics into this variety show. Event sponsors Appleton Dental Care, Gerbig Family, Woody and Diane Pete, Subway, Gary and Cindy Hendricks, and Ultima Skin Care. Admission $25 for adults. Student tickets $1 each. Limit 4 with each paid adult admission. Tickets online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org. At the door or call the box office 320-312-2311.
Jesse here with Myers Electric and Infrared. With nearly 20 years in business and decades of combined experience, we have what it takes to get your project done on budget and on time. But don't just take my word for it. Ask around. Talk to one of our many satisfied customers. In most cases, I didn't even have to bribe them to give us a good review. As always, we offer free estimates and 100% satisfaction. Call Myers Electric and Infrared at 320-226-7447.
Oh, welcome back to the Coach's Show. Another Coach's Show in the books. Want to remind everybody of the citywide cleanup going on. Getting lined down there by the water treatment plant. You got 2 hours yet. Paul Ramo's going to go down there himself shortly after he does all the work here to get recorded on the Coach's Show and get the radio station up to date. And, of course, the prom out at Lac La Parle tonight. So have a lot of fun and just be careful out there. So close it with, I think, kind of Dick Newman sick jokes, three of them here today. What do you call a nervous javelin thrower? Shakespeare. Why was the ice cream cone? Why was the ice cream cone bad at tennis? It had a soft serve. And finally, who do you call to take care of a mosquito infestation? Well, of course, the SWAT team. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday. Remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
We're at 9:55. Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.
Tomorrow.
Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Let the budget battle begin. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. Lawmakers are digesting President Trump's proposed budget.
House Republicans held a series of meetings this week on how to agree on taxes and spending cuts in the budget resolution. Blue state Republicans want the cap on the state and local tax deduction to be lifted in order to provide tax relief to their constituents. A similar group of members are making it clear they will not support a package that cuts services for the most vulnerable on Medicaid, but Republicans believe there needs to be some type of reform, such as expanding work requirements for able-bodied people and finding waste, fraud, and abuse in order to find $1.5 to $2 trillion in spending cuts. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Senate Democrats plan to force a vote on deportation transparency. This after alleged MS-13 member Kilmer Abrego-Garcia was deported.
In the coming weeks, the Senate will...